And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. The Pacific Marine Heat Wave, nicknamed the Blob, devastated Alaska's marine ecosystem between 2014 and 2016. A teen turned sea stars to goo and caused dead birds to wash up on beaches. Researchers believe it led to the death of almost half of the resident humpback whales in Glacier Bay and the Icy Strait region of southeast Alaska. It was one of the longest marine heat waves to ever hit the Gulf of Alaska. But wildlife biologist Jeanette Nielsen with the Glacier Bay National Park says things are looking up for southeast humpback whales as temperatures return to normal.
The good news is that whales are very resilient. They are really capable of rebounding.
Southeast Alaska is an important feeding ground for humpbacks. They fuel up here before returning to winter breeding grounds in Hawaii and Mexico. But the heat wave caused an underwater famine that may have killed almost half of the regular water whales in Glacier Bay and Icy Strait. Fortunately, the 2022 humpback whale monitoring update, released last week by the park, shows sure signs of improvement.
We're seeing whales looking like they're in better body condition. We're seeing less emaciated whales, less skinny whales.
Whales are staying in Glacier Bay and Icy Strait for longer, too, which probably means more plentiful food. Still, birth rates have not returned to normal. Scientists are not exactly sure why, but Nielsen says that may mean female whales have not recovered enough nutrition.
A lot of females that we would expect to have calves, they're just not coming back with calves. We're not sure what's the problem there. It could be that they're just not in good enough body condition to support a pregnancy.
And for adult whales, the threat of vessel strikes still looms. 2022's survey documented at least one death of an adult female whale near Angoon from a ship strike. The report cites the increasing number of whales watching boats in southeast as a concern, too. Too much boat activity can stress humpbacks, which makes proper feeding even more difficult. For now, Nielsen says southeast humpbacks are on a good track.
Things definitely are still not back to where they were, but there are signs, positive signs, that the system is improving. We just need conditions to stay positive for them.
But with climate change, more marine heat waves could be coming. That makes responsible monitoring and management of whale habitats even more critical. And earlier this month, Governor Mike Dunleavy introduced legislation that would require parental permission for Alaska students to participate in school clubs related to gender and sexuality. In Juneau, two such clubs are open to middle schoolers. They're both called the Alliance, like other gender and sexuality alliance clubs across the country. And at a meeting last week, students told KTOO what the group means to them. About 20 kids gather in a classroom with pride flags draping the walls. They're eating snacks, showing each other videos, and talking about their days at school. Typical middle school stuff. A few came out into the hall to talk about the club.
What does GSA mean to you?
A place you can be yourself.
That's a student who asked not to be identified for this story. KTOO agreed in order to protect their privacy.
So, my mom is, like, not against LGBTQ and stuff like that. So, like, and I can't really be, like, myself around her because, like, she doesn't like that stuff. So, like, I've been coming here for, like, around, like, 4 months. And I think, like, I really like this place.
Oliver Schufelt is an adult facilitator with the Alliance. They say clubs like the Alliance are necessary because kids may not have other LGBTQ plus family members or support.
That sort of community isn't really baked in for these kids, that we really have to intentionally create that, and these kids often have to seek it out, but these are really life-altering, life-saving spaces.
And when they say life-saving, it's not an exaggeration. The Trevor Project reported last year that 45% of LGBTQ youth in Alaska seriously considered suicide in the past year, and 64% of LGBTQ youth in Alaska lacked access to medical health care they wanted. One of the top reasons was that they didn't want to ask their parents for permission.
Oh, wow.
Another student in the Alliance said they're out to their mom, but not their dad. And if they had to get permission from him, they may not be able to come anymore.
With my mom, it wouldn't be a problem. Like, she knows about me being transgender, but my father doesn't. And that would cause problems.
For now, they tell their dad they go to a homework club after school. Some of the youth said their parents were supportive of their identities and know they go to the Alliance group. But the group is still special because they can be around other youth who share their identities. For others, the group offers support while they think about how to talk to their families about who they are. The Alliance meets weekly at Floyd Dryden and Zonzakehini Middle Schools. The Zach Gordon Youth Center has a weekly group for LGBTQ plus teens each Thursday. The groups are open to any student on a drop-in basis. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And people who recreate in public outdoor spaces are disproportionately white. The UAF Department of Natural Resources and Environment wants to know why. KUAC's Robin reports.
Researcher Rachel Garcia says national park and other public land studies have shown that people of color don't show up in the numbers reflected in the general population.
Lots of research has looked at why disparities in land use happen, and this study is racial equity in outdoor spaces in Alaska today.
Garcia says the two groups most underrepresented are Blacks and Hispanics.
People of color, as part of this project, said things like, yeah, it's been uncomfortable for me to join the Sierra Club or particular hiking groups because I'm usually the only person of color there.
Garcia says she's looking at national organizations like Black Girls Bike or Outdoor Afro and Love is King for their environmental education programs. She's recruiting now for focus groups in Fairbanks and Anchorage who can help her frame the research. In addition to her UAF colleagues, the YWCA in Anchorage is partnering on the study, and she's organized 20 other researchers to collaborate with the focus groups and ask the questions.
Explanations and connections between why people might have both positive and negative experiences in the outdoors. What would people like to be doing more of outside? Are there specific things that prevent them from being able to do that? Are there specific things that might make it more possible to be on the land, in the outdoors, in ways that they want to be?
She says not all people who are doing things outside would call what they do recreation.
For this study, we really want to use a very expansive definition of things that you do outside. We're interested in all of them.
She says Alaska Natives make up about 20% of Alaska's population, and in some public outdoor areas, they're not participating to that degree.
One of the things that can affect land relationships is the experience of land dispossession that Indigenous people have experienced.
Garcia says she's working with Tukni Holstrom at Native Movement in Fairbanks and with Alaska Native elders to understand how to approach the topic with Alaska Native perspectives in mind.
Conversations with Tukni led to us using the phrase ways of being on the land.
Garcia says the focus groups will meet this month and in April, and she'll record and write up the data. Information about the study is posted on the Anchorage YWCA and the UAF Department of Natural Resources and Environment websites.
My role, I think, is to present this data to organizations who could make decisions to create programs that support people being able to do more of the things that they want to do on the land.
Garcia says Alaska Native organizations, federal, state, and borough land and parks managers could use the findings of the research. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Alaska's State Education Department has selected 5 tribes for a pilot program that will allow tribes to open new independent schools. The State Tribal Education Compacting Program was established under Senate Bill 34, which passed the legislature and was signed into law by Governor Mike Dunleavy last year. The 5 select tribes each receive grant funding to start their school over the next handful of years through a compact agreement with the state's Department of Education and Early Development. The tribes can set their own curriculum and schedule. They'll receive guidance from the Alaskan Federation of Natives as the program moves forward. Among the 5 tribes selected is Ketchikan Indian Community. Sonia Scan is the tribe's education and training director.
It gives Native control of Native education. But this is the coolest part is that it's open for all. So the idea of this compacting grant that was given out to the 5 tribes is that we will work together and create a model of what compacting looks like for our state.
Supporters say the program will improve education for Alaska Native students. It's part of a larger push to bring more culturally relevant lessons into the classroom to support Indigenous students. In addition to Ketchikan Indian Community, the tribes selected for the pilot program include the Central Council of the Thlinkit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, King Island Native Community, and Kinnick Tribe in the Inupiat Community of the Arctic Slope. And as for the weather, it's currently 40 degrees and raining here in Juneau. The low tonight is 32. The rest of this week looks like it might be rainy as well, with a possible break on Friday and the weekend. Temperatures are around 40 degrees all week. You're listening to KTOO.